Hi there, and welcome to a special edition of the StudyClicks podcast. We've teamed up with an expert teacher, Peter Tobin, to bring you a limited podcast series all about Othello, the play by William Shakespeare.
Peter has recorded a series of podcasts for us where he goes into the specific aspects of what you need to know about Othello when you're studying it for the Leaving Cert. He covers everything from characters and different themes in the play, to understanding Shakespeare's writing techniques and tips on approaching exam questions.
This episode of the podcast series is all about the character of Iago, the antagonist of this play. First, you're going to hear Peter talk about one way you can interpret his character, that is, as an evil villain, and he'll move on to other ways he can be interpreted before rounding off the episode with a look at how to best answer an exam question based on Iago's character.
So, the next voice that you'll hear is Peter's. Enjoy listening.
It's really important that you can offer opinions on the characters that are nuanced and critical in order to gain as many marks as you can when it comes to critical literacy and get that H1. Remember, you also have to show your understanding of Othello as a piece of drama, and that Iago plays a role and has a purpose decided by Shakespeare. So what is that purpose? Well, on the simplest level, Iago plays the villain. He is the corrupting influence, or the motiveless malignity, as Coleridge described him in the play. On the surface, he is the root of the tragedy. It's his interactions with the other characters that caused the death of Othello and Desdemona, and even his own wife, Emilia. So perhaps Shakespeare is making Iago the contrast to Othello. Othello is good, honest, and noble, while Iago is evil, base, and duplicitous. But you want to be able to show a deeper understanding of the character in your exam response, and there's certainly a deeper idea behind the character of Iago. It's useful to go back a little further in the history of drama to see what it is Shakespeare is doing with the character of Iago. In the 15th and 16th centuries, drama usually took the form of morality plays. Groups would tour the country, putting on shows that were relatively simple in their structure. There were no named characters that would be recognised as individual people, just types that would represent different things. There would be a main character, a representation of mankind, and then other characters that represented good and evil. And the main character would then be faced with temptations and ultimately choose the correct path. All of this was all about offering moral guidance to the audience that were watching. The character that represented evil, or the devil, or some form of evil, was known as vice. The interesting thing about this character was that it most often engaged with the audience. The other characters were unaware of the audience, but vice would observe the audience and speak to them, making them complicit, involving them in the events of the play, and by telling them of his plans. This is precisely what Iago does in Othello. He fools the other characters with tricks and lies, but he speaks the truth to us. He tells us of his hatred, his jealousy, and his plans for how it will all unfold, and it happens just as he says it will. So one way of looking at Iago is that he is a representation of evil, perhaps even the devil himself. And this would tie in neatly with one of the things that make Iago such a fascinating character, and that is that there is apparently no motive for his villainy, for his evil. He refuses to explain himself. At the end, he says, "What you know, you know." This is as much to us, his audience, as it is to the Venetian nobles who are demanding answers of him.
That was Peter talking about one way of viewing the character of Iago, as the evil villain. Next, he's going to take a look at Iago, not as some evil monster, but as a human being who is deeply flawed.
It's really important that you can offer opinions on the characters that are nuanced and critical in order to gain as many marks as you can when it comes to critical literacy and get that H1. Obviously, the most straightforward interpretation of Iago is that he's evil, but we're going to look at him slightly differently. Think about this. If Shakespeare was to remove all of Iago's soliloquies and we only saw his action, then the plot would still work. Iago's scheming and plotting would come as more of a surprise to us. We certainly wouldn't have the benefit of dramatic irony, but it would still make sense. We would see a character who exploits and is vicious to those that he can be, Rodrigo and Emilia, for example, and who grovels and simpers to those above him that he needs to ingratiate himself, Desdemona, Othello and Cassio. So why does Shakespeare invest all of those extra lines of soliloquy into a character who's not even the title character? Well, let's look at what he says in those lines. To all the other characters on the stage, Iago is honest, calm, decent, supportive. One could almost say he's emotionless. But in his soliloquies, he bristles with rage, with passion, with uncontrollable bitterness. So we are seeing two faces here, the public Iago and the private one. It's the private Iago who tells us that he suspects both Cassio and Othello have slept with his wife, Emilia. It's the private Iago who rages about the fact that he has been passed over for promotion. It's the private Iago who is driven by feelings of self-loathing and fantasies of revenge. And what's more human than that? Keeping our darkest thoughts, our most vulnerable side to ourselves, and then projecting a public face. In order to support this idea a little, consider what happens when Iago takes Cassio's place as Othello's lieutenant. Is he satisfied? No. Does he rest or stop in his plotting and scheming? No. Similarly, when Iago is confiding in the audience about his fears of Cassio, he admits, in Act 5, Scene 1, he hath a daily beauty in his life that makes me ugly. Iago's own insecurities and self-loathing are as much drivers of his behaviour than anything outside of himself, like the devil or evil. His motive is jealousy that stems from deep insecurity. He tells Othello to beware the green-eyed monster, but he himself can't control it. He suspects Othello has slept with his wife. He's jealous of Cassio's promotion. He even suspects that Cassio has slept with his wife as well. He is a bundle of jealousy, paranoia, and possibly even impotence. But ultimately, he is deeply human. Rather than some representation of the devil, then, it's useful to think of Iago as a representation of us and humanity. Just the worst parts of us. Remember that you've got to show your understanding of the text as a piece of theatre. Shakespeare, through his dramatic devices, like dramatic irony, soliloquy and structure, has Iago bring us into his confidence, to make us complicit in his plans. He is that dark part of all of us, of the audience, of the readers. He whispers to that darkness, and the real power of the character of Iago is that some of us whispers back.
And to finish off this episode, you're going to hear Peter talk about how to discuss the character of Iago from the perspective of two really common types of Leaving Cert exam questions.
Iago plays a more significant role in the play Othello than Othello himself. To what extent do you agree? Now, in order to access the highest marks when writing an answer to this type of question, you need to remember to offer carefully considered opinions and sophisticated ideas. The simple response here is that yes, Iago does play a more significant role. He's got way more lines, he's got loads more time on stage, he has many more soliloquies, and he's just a more developed character all round. But the key to a H1 in this answer is to show your understanding of Shakespeare's intentions. Now, some critics have argued that Shakespeare simply couldn't write Othello well enough because he's such an outsider. He wasn't able to get inside the mind of a character from such a culturally different background. He even presents Othello as a convert to Christianity to make it easier for himself. Perhaps this is why Iago is, in effect, the main character. Alternatively, perhaps Iago is simply the more interesting of the two. Maybe the soliloquies that Iago has that reveal his tortured mind, his inferiority complex, his suspicions, and his paranoia, maybe they're just more interesting to an audience than Othello's goodness and naivety. And taking it slightly further, it mightn't even be important which character is the main or more significant one, because the real drama of the play comes from how they relate to each other. Othello's goodness highlights Iago's villainy. Iago's deviousness highlights Othello's naivety. It is their interaction that makes the play what it is, and alone, neither of these characters would be as interesting to us. The best answer, then, to this type of question would combine each of these ideas. There's no denying Othello is an important character, but perhaps Iago and how his flaws are so human and so common is the more interesting one. The second question that we're going to examine is this. Although the character of Iago horrifies us, something about him still appeals to us. Discuss this statement with reference to the text. Your response to this question should focus on how Shakespeare has created such a fascinating character. You need to be able to show critical judgment when talking about the character, so you don't say that he's simply evil, but that his wrongdoings and his flaws are in fact what make him human, what makes him like us, the audience. After all, who has never felt jealous, or suspicious, or angry, or talked down to? Who hasn't ever felt a desire for revenge or thought, well, I'll show them? Shakespeare's structure helps too. It's only in his soliloquies, when talking directly to us, that he reveals his inner thoughts. This is a very human feature, to hide our innermost thoughts and feelings and put on a mask. When he's with the other characters, he's charming, funny, and likeable. He presents himself as everyone's best friend. The distinction in the question between being horrified but still having appeal allows you to focus on the fact that he appeals to us because we recognize ourselves, our flaws and jealousies in him. But when we see the conclusion that he takes it to, it horrifies us.
Now you know all about Iago, how there is more than one way to view his character, and how to go about answering an exam question on him and his role in this play.
Keep listening to this series for more analysis on the play Othello. It'll help you gain a better understanding of the play and will equip you with the knowledge on how to approach a Leaving Cert question based on this play by William Shakespeare.
Thank you for listening so far. And as always, if you want to get in touch to leave any feedback, questions or comments you might have for us, you can contact us by email at info@studyclicks.ie. You can also chat to us directly on the StudyClicks website via the chat box in the bottom right hand corner.
Yes, and as always, don't forget to subscribe to the StudyClicks podcast wherever you listen to podcasts so you can stay up to date with our latest episodes. If you want to support us, we'd love it if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or tell a friend about us so we can help as many students as possible.
And don't forget to follow StudyClicks on social media if you're not already. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram and TikTok. We're always posting lots of fun stuff, lots of useful study tips and regular competitions, so it's well worth giving us a follow. And of course, a big thank you to Peter Tobin for working with us on this, for bringing his expert advice on the play Othello for Leaving Cert students. We hope you stay tuned for more.